Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today at the very top line. You'll notice there is a Tanaic source by virtue of the frame around the first few lines. In our Gemara marking system, we attempt to frame off Tanaic sections to set them apart from the rest of the Amoraic Gemara literature. We have also a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, Tcheles Bo Midam Hachilozon. Tcheles is the dye that we've been speaking about quite a bit in the last number of Dapim of Gemara. This dye, blue dye, comes from the blood of a creature called Chilozon. So the source begins, Tanu Rabbanan, Chilozon Zehu Gufo Dome Liyam Ubriyosoi Dome Ledag. It's a creature whose appearance is like that of the sea, apparently something to do with the color, and the form that it has is similar to that of a fish. Ve'ula echod l'shivim shana, and it arises from the sea once every 70 years. Uvedomo yitzovim tcheles, and with its blood, the tcheles dye is made. Lafikoch domov yikorim. And since it appears once every 70 years, it's a very expensive item. We mentioned that it's oila, it comes up from the sea. There is a bit of a discussion on this topic. Rashi over here mentions that it comes up from the ground. However, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, he points out that there are a number of other sources that say something a bit different than what Rashi is saying over here. In fact, Rashi's own commentary in other places isn't exactly the same as this. But for our purposes, let us say that this creature makes its appearance only once every 70 years, and hence, in order to provide tcheles, one would have to be on his toes, let's say, once every 70 years, and hence it was a very expensive substance. Tanya, we have another Tanaic source. This is a rather long source. In the outside margin, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Godel Schar Mitzvos, the greatness of the reward for mitzvos, Nilmad Mimaisa Im Hatzitzit Shel Odom Echod. We'll learn this from a story involving the tzitzits of a certain person, Shigia El Zoina. He approached a harlot for services, and the story itself will be revealed in this Tanaic source. So the point of this upcoming section is to learn the greatness, the great amount of reward that is provided for one who is Mekayim Mitzvos. Amar Rabbi Nosson, Ein Lecha Kol Mitzvah Kala Shekzuva B'Torah. There isn't even a light mitzvah that's written in the Torah. She'ein Matan Schora Be'olam Hazeh U Be'olam Haba. That there is reward in this world and in the next world. Avol eini yodea kamo. But I can't say how much. How much reward. Tsei ulamad mi mitzvah tzitzis. Go and learn from a story involving tzitzis. And we have another marking that accompanies this section of Gemara. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara a circled maisa. The word Maisa encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara that follow that are parallel to this long vertical dashed line constitute the incident, the Maisa. So the Gemara says, Maisa b'adam echot shoyo zohir b'mitzvah tzitzis. There was a man who was very careful, he was diligent in his performance of this particular mitzvah. Shama shiyesh zoyna b'krochei hayam. He heard that there was a harlot that was located abroad. Shenoiteles dalid meyazor, 400 zehuvim b'schora. Very high rate she took for her services. 400 pieces of gold. Shiger lo arba meo zehuvim. This man had a great desire to be with her, so he sent her 400 pieces of gold, the kova lo zman, and an appointment was established. Kishigia zmano, when his turn or his time came, bo v'yoshav al ha-pesach, he came and sat by the entrance to where this harlot was. Nichnasa shivchosa v'yomla lo, the harlot's maid servant went in to her and told her, "Oisa odam shishigiloch dalid meyazuvim bo the yoshav al hapesach." The man that sent you the 400 pieces of gold has come and is seated by the doorway. Omrahi, so the harlot said, "Yikones, enter." Nichnas, so he entered. Hitzialo sheva mitois sheish shel kesef the achas shel zov. She offered seven beds, six of which were made of silver and one of gold. Ubein kol achas v'achas. Apparently, this was a not just a double decker bed, but it was a seven decker bed. And it was, as the Gemara says, as the Brisa says here, ubein kol achas v'achas sulam shel kesef ve'elyonah shel zov. Between each bed, there was a ladder of silver, and the last ladder leading to the top bed was made of gold. Also, v'yoshva agabi el yoina kishi aruma. The harlot went and sat upon the uppermost bed, unclothed. V'afhu olo leishev orum kenegdo, and he too went up to the top bed, unclothed, opposite her. Bo'u dalid tzitziyosov v'tofchu lo aponov. So, a seemingly miraculous incident took place, and his four tzitzis, the tzitzis of his garment, came and struck him on his face. Nishmat v'yoshav lo al gabi karka. He, as a result of that, he slipped off the bed and ended up on the ground. V'yafhi nishmita v'yoshva al gabi karka. The harlot too slipped off and was seated now on the ground. Omra lo. We're now going to see in the next few lines a back-and-forth discussion in order to make it easier to follow. As far as speakers are concerned, we've squiggle-underlined the expressions of Omra and Omar Lo. So, Omra Lo, she says to him, Gapo shel Romi. This is an expression that's a type of oath, an expression of oath. So she swears, She'eni manichoscha, I'm not going to leave you be, ad shetomar li ma mum ro'iso bi. I'm not going to leave you alone until you tell me what blemish did you see in me. In other words, she was a moment before about to engage in the matters of harlotry with this gentleman, and not too soon, he just slipped right off. And she's wondering, like, it must be that he found something negative about her. So she wants to know, what is it? Omar Lo, so he says back to her, Ho'avoda, this is also an expression of oath, and he says, he swears, Shelo ro'isi isha yofa kemosech, I have never seen a woman as beautiful as you, Elo, mitzvah achas siwanu Hashem Elokeinu, however, there is a commandment that our Almighty God commanded us, v'tzitzis shmo, and the name of that commandment is tzitzis, v'ksiv bo, and regarding tzitzis, it says, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Shtei Pa'omim. It says that phrase, I am the Lord your God, twice. And that's in the last pasuk of the Parsha Tzitzis. You'll notice at the beginning of the pasuk, it says, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Hotzesi Eschem, etc. And then it says at the end, Ani Hashem Elokechem. It's true that when Davin's in shul and says that, he adds a word MS, but that's not really part of the Parsha itself as far as the Torah is concerned. So the expression Ani Hashem Elokechem appears twice. It may be pointed out that in the context of tzitzis, and it's very important to note that it's tzitzis as far as what the word itself means. So we've seen Gemaras that touch on that. Another aspect of tzitzis as lahatzitz is something that you look at, and the pasuk says lo sosuru acharei levavachem v'acharei einechem. Part of the command of the Torah to mankind, to the Jewish people, is one should not follow his lustful desires. One should not follow his heart and his eyes. Of course, there's a lot more to say on that topic, but for as far as the context of this Gemara and this story are concerned, the part of the mitzvah of tzitzis is one should not follow his lustful desires, which are, generally speaking, governed by what one looks at. So it's quite appropriate over here that the tzitzis came to intervene and prevent this man from engaging in this kind of, let's say, questionable moral behavior. And this is what he is telling her. He says that we have this mitzvah of tzitzis, and in the pasuk regarding mitzvah tzitzis, it mentions Ani Hashem Elokeichem two times. And the Gemara goes on, Ani hu she'osid lipora, v'ani hu she'osid l'shalem schar. I am the one, the Lord, the God, that will punish, and I am also the Almighty that will pay reward. Achshav nidmu alai kedalit edim. And right now, these tzitzis appear to me as four witnesses. They are witnesses that are going to stand and report what I am about, what I was about to do. And hence, that created a great deterrent. And that's what happened. I slipped off the bed. Omra loi. So the harlot says she was overwhelmed by this story, and she says, "Ani manichecha, I am not going to leave you be. Ad shetomar li mashimcha, umashem irucha, umashem rabcha, umashem midrashcha, she'ato lomed bo Torah. I'm not going to leave you until you tell me mashimcha, what's your name? Mashem irucha, what's the name of your town? Umashem rabcha, what's the name of your rabbi or your Torah instructor? And what's the name of the yeshiva, the place of study that you learn, in which you learn Torah?" Kosav v'nosan v'yoda. So he provided all the information. He wrote it on a slip of paper and gave her the information. Omda, this woman, now she gets up, and v'chilko kol nechoseha, she divides out all of her money, her estate. You can see from, you can imagine from the rates that she took for her services, she was probably a very wealthy individual. So she gets up, divides up all of her estate, shlish l'malchus. She gives a third of her estate to the government, that they should allow her, we'll call this a payoff to the government, that they should allow her to convert to Judaism. Ushlish laniyim, she wants to give a third to the impoverished. Ushlish notla biyada, chutz me'oisen matzos. And a third she took with her, besides the matzos, which we saw above as a reference to the mattresses or the beds that she used to perform her services on. Ubosa base midrasha shel Rebbe Chia. There are different girsos as who the Rav is in this story. Tosfos suggests it should read here Rebbe Meir. So she comes to the base midrash of the great Rav of the time. Let us assume it was Rebbe Meir. Omra loi. So she says to the Rav, Rebbe, tzave olai viasuni gioras. I want you to issue an order and make me into a convert. Omar law. So the Rav says to her, BT, my daughter, he says, Shemo einayich nosat be'echod min hatamidim. Maybe your interest in conversion is based on a vested interest in that you are interested in marrying one of the students. And such a conversion is not desirable, to say the least. It's not something that we allow. We don't allow conversions if the whole purpose of the conversion is for some type of ulterior motive. And therefore he's trying to deter her and say, listen, maybe your whole interest in conversion is simply because you fell in love with one of the students and they won't marry you unless you convert. Well, she then takes out of her pocket Hotziok Sav Miyoda Vinosna Loi. She takes out the slip of paper with the information that the gentleman who was about to be with her provided, and she there with upon presenting the paper, she also told the whole story. And her interest in conversion here is what we call the Shem Shamayim. She was so impressed with the with the mitzvah, in this case the mitzvah of tzitzis, and I think that it's worth emphasizing a point that was sort of slipped in this source at the beginning. It mentioned that this man was actually someone who was nizer in mitzvah tzitzis. In my opinion, this man simply had experienced a moment of weakness, because someone who is nizer in mitzvah tzitzis, and as we said before, tzitzis is really associated with one who guards against, is designed to help one guard against lustful thoughts and yielding to one's temptation. It's my assumption that this man, in fact, was quite vigilant in that area. He had a moment of weakness, and because of his diligence in this mitzvah, the mitzvah actually helped him along, provided protection for him, and didn't allow him to fall. And the woman, upon hearing all of this, was so impressed with the mitzvah and with Torah, and she was interested in converting for those reasons. And in addition to that, she'll, as we'll see very shortly, she'll end up marrying that particular Talmud. So when the Rav heard that her interest in conversion was because of the story involving the mitzvah, Omar lo lechi zechi b'mekchech, go and acquire your acquisition. In other words, if you want to convert because of your being so impressed with the mitzvahs and impressed with this Talmud who had so much given of himself to b'kayim the mitzvah, go ahead and you can convert and marry him. Oison matzos shitzio loy beiser hitzilo beheter, those beds that she originally offered him in the context of harlotry, which is something forbidden, she's now able to offer him as his wife, beheter, in a permitted way. Ze matan scharo boilam hazeh, this is the reward that one gets for a mitzvah in this world. Lolam habo eini yodea kama, but as far as the world to come is concerned, I have no idea. As you can see, we now have a slash indicating that which follows is a new point. On the outside margin under our no say heading, we've written talis sheula, a borrowed garment, p'tura min hatzitzis. If someone borrowed a four cornered garment, it's something that's exempt from tzitzis. The Gemara will qualify this. Omar Rav Yehuda, talis sheula, a borrowed garment. So it depends. Aleph, we break this down into two parts. Kol shloishim yoyim p'tura min hatzitzis. For the first 30 days, one is exempt from having tzitzis in it. Mikan veilich, if the term of his borrowing is going to go beyond 30 days, then chayeves. Beyond 30 days, one is obligated. Tanya nami hachi, we have a Tanaic source that in which you'll see this breakdown of 30 days and more than 30 days, albeit in a different context. Here we'll be touching on the mitzvah of mezuzah, but the support to the halach of Rav Yehuda is coming from the Tanaic source, and it's reference to the 30 day period. Hador bepundiki beretz Israel, one who dwells in an inn, a pundiki, a motel in Eretz Israel. It's not his place. He simply rents the room in the context of an inn. And one who rents a house, he rents a house outside of Israel. So the halacha is as follows. Kol shloishim yoyim poter min hamezuzah. If he is going to be staying in that inn, or he's going to rent the house for 30 days, it's exempt from mezuzah. Mikan ve'ilch, but beyond 30 days, chayov. There is an obligation. Avol hasocher bayis be'eretz Yisrael. If one is renting a house in Israel, oise mezuzah la'alter, one is expected to put up a mezuzah immediately, mishum yishuv de'eretz Yisrael, because of our interest in seeing to it that Eretz Yisrael is settled. If we glance at the Rashi in the upper half of the page, mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael, de'la'achar shekova, once one sets a mezuzah on the doorpost, shuv eino not la mishum, afilu yotze mimeno. There is a halacha that one does not remove the mezuzah even in the event that he leaves the place. Kenor perka shoyal bebov mesiyah. As it says in that in Maseches Bava Mesiyah, hilkoch bekoshi yotze mimeno. Therefore, after a person sets his mezuzah up, he's going to think twice before he leaves that place. Mitnei torach mezuzah cheres, because of the trouble in getting another mezuzah for another place. So the putting up of the mezuzah will cause one to stay longer in the place that he is renting. V'afilu yotze mimeno, even if he does leave the place, yaskireno acher mehero, someone else will rent it very quickly, kishiyemsena mezumenes b'mezuzah, when he sees that the house that he's about to rent has a mezuzah on it already. V'nimseis eretz yisrael miyushevas. This way, either through the fact that a person won't leave the house that he is renting so quickly, so the house remains occupied, or even in the event that he moves from the place, it will become occupied quickly by someone else, because there is a mezuzah. So, because of our interest in Yishuv, Eretz Yisrael, the mezuzah is to be put on the rented house immediately. Tefillah shel yad eino me'akeves shel rosh. The arm tefillin, the tefillin shel yad, is not something that is me'akev the shel rosh. In other words, if one doesn't have a tefillin shel yad, nevertheless he will put on the tefillin shel rosh. Omrav Chisda lo yishanu elo shiyesh lo. This is a first stage of a discussion. Rav Chisda, in the first stage, that's why we have a little aleph over here. He says that the din, that it's not ma'akev, that one is not binding on the other, is true elo shiyesh lo, that he has in his possession, he owns a tefillin shel rosh and a tefillin shel yad, or he is in possession of both. Aval ein lo, let us say he has only one, then me'akeves, then he cannot put it on. Omru lo, they asked Rav Chisda, Amris, did you say that halacha? Omar lahu loy. So Rav Chisda denies. He says, no, I wouldn't say that. Elo man de lesle trei mitzvos. If one doesn't have both mitzvos, chad mitzvah nami lo levin, should he not fulfill even one mitzvah? In other words, should one think it's like an all or nothing deal? Well, there was a first stage here. He did say originally that if he doesn't have both, then he should do none. Umeikara maisobar. What was his original thought when he said that if he doesn't have both, then the lack of one is binding upon the other, and you can't fulfill the one that you do have? What was his original thought in saying that? Answer: Gzeiro shemo yifsha. We were afraid that if we would tell someone, you know, if you don't have both, you can do at least one, so the person might become lazy. Rashi says, Shema Yifsha, I Amrinon the Eino Ma'akeves. If we tell people that it's not binding, Yifsha, he will become negligent. Velo Yikno Acheres, he won't be sufficiently motivated to acquire the second one. So originally the thought was, let us tell people that if you don't have both, you have only one, then the one that you have will say worthless in the sense that you can't mekayem the mitzvah, any mitzvah with it. That will motivate him to get the other one. But if he feels that the one that he has, he could fulfill a mitzvah with it, he'll become complacent and feel, all right, I have one, I'll do the mitzvah with one, even though I'm not mekayem the mitzvah, the second mitzvah. Nevertheless, the Maskonas HaGemara, we don't say that, and rather, if he has one, so one puts it on and he is yotze at least that one mitzvah. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a note at the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. Here we combine our structural note with the topic heading. You'll see in the Gemara itself the appearance of a series of double underlines. Double underlines are one of our series markings in the Gemara marking system, and we also have a volcano shape. These markings are here to highlight the following. Sidra shel mitzvos asei. These are a series of positive commands. She mi she'enoi mekayamom. One who does not fulfill these that are in the list. Over al kama averos. Even though you're dealing with one mitzvah, the truth is that the mitzvahs that are referred to here actually are they are types of umbrella mitzvahs, namely that there are a number of psukim that appear regarding each one of these mitzvahs. Therefore, if one is not in fulfillment, one doesn't fulfill one of these mitzvahs, he's in actuality in violation of numerous mitzvahs. Omar Rav Sheshes, kol sheino miniach tefillin, oiver b'shmoina asei. Someone who does not put on tefillin, he is in violation of eight positive commands. Rashi explains how do you get to eight positive commands. So he has two. Rashi has two pshatim. The first pshat is that in the tefillin there are four parshios, and regarding each one of the parshios, there is a mitzvah ukshartom lois al yodecho. It should be bound on your arm. So each parsha has this mitzvah. So that's four mitzvahs of ukshartom lois al yodecho. And the tefillin shirosh also has the pasuk that says v'hoyu l'totofos. So regarding each parsha, each Torah section that is written in the mitzvah, and there are four Torah sections, there are two commands regarding each one of the parshas. Rashi has a second approach that one can view in the Rashi itself. Continuing in the Gemara, v'chol she'ein lo tzitzis bebigdo, one who does not have tzitzis on his garment, oiver b'chamisha asei, he is in violation of five positive commands. And Rashi enumerates them, because in the parsha of the tzitzis there are psukim in which you see v'asu, v'nasnu, v'hoya, u'ri'isem, and gedivim ta'aselecha, which is a pasuk that's in not in the parsha of tzitzis, but it's elsewhere. Nevertheless, it's one of five commands that appear in the context of tzitzis. Therefore, if one does not wear tzitzis while he is wearing a garment that's obligated in tzitzis, he's in violation of these five positive commands. Another example of multiple offenses in one mitzvah, v'chol kohen sheino oilo l'duchan, any kohen who is summoned to recite the birchas kohanim, what we call the duchening, if a kohen is summoned and he doesn't go, he is in violation over begimel asei. He is in violation of three positive commands. There is a greater discussion on this topic in Maseches Soita. Kol she'ein loy mezuzah bepischoi, anyone who does not have a mezuzah on his entranceway, over b'shnei asei. Uchsavtom, the parsha of mezuzah is repeated in two sections of the Torah, where it says "Uchsavtom al mezuzos beisecho vishorecho." The Omar Reish Lakish. Here we have a slightly different marking, because up till now we had a series of one who does not do. Here we have a dashed double underline, because it's part of the series, but on the other hand, it's different. So he says, Reish Lakish says, Kol haminiach tefillin, one who does wear tefillin, ma'arich yomim, he merits a long life. Shenemar, there's a pasuk that says, Hashem aleihem yichyu ulechol bohen chayiruchi v'tachlimeni v'achyeni. The pasuk says, Hashem aleihem. Rashi at the top says, Oisim shenoisim aleihem shem Hashem b'tfilin. Those who carry upon them the name of the Almighty, namely in the form of tfilin, yichyu, shall live. And that's what the pasuk says. The Mishnah. Hasoilus v'shemen ein ma'akvin es hayayin, velo hayayin ma'akvon. When dealing with what's called a minchas nesachim, these are accompanying sacrifices, if you will, offerings that come along with animal korbanos. There is also a separate topic of one who takes upon himself an obligation to bring a minchas nesachim, but for our purposes we're dealing with a minchas nesachim, a standard minchas nesachim. In addition to the animal, there is also a meal offering together with wine that's brought. Let us say one has the oil, which is part of, that's mixed in together with the flour for the meal part of it, and he doesn't have wine. So is one binding upon the other? So the Mishnah tells us that the solus and shemen are not binding with regard to the wine, and the wine is not binding upon them, which for practical purposes means that if he doesn't have one, he still brings the other. Hamatonos shal hamizbeach achitzon ein ma'akvois zu es zu. Matonos is a reference to the sprinkling of blood of a korban chatos. The korban chatos ideally has four blood applications to the four corners of the mizbech that sat in the azor in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. If, however, he did not apply all four matonas to this, to the standard korban chatas, which is done in the azora, he nevertheless does fulfill his basic requirement. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that the each one of the matonas dam is not me'akev. Tonu Rabbanan. Before we go further, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under the heading No Say. Machlokes Rebbe v'Chachomim b'Minchas Nesachim b'Seder Havos Hayayin v'Amincha. There will be a controversy between Rebbe and the Chachomim with regard to a Minchas Nesachim. This is the accompanying meal offering with wine. What is the order in which the things are, these different parts are offered, the wine and the Mincha? The wine, it should be pointed out, was poured into a tube on the top of the mizbeach. What does one do first? The offering of the handful of the mincha, which is placed on the fire of the mizbeach, or the offering of the wine? Tanu Rabbanan. Uminchasam v'niskehem. Havei mincha v'achakach havei nesachim. So the Tanakhama learns from this pasuk, first deal with the meal, the meal offering, and then the wine. Rebbe Omer Zevach Unesachim, which Rebbe learns, Havei Zevach, you bring the animal, which is, we call the basic sacrifice is the animal, the Achar Kach Havei Nesachim. Nesachim are that which is poured, which is a reference to the wine. So that in the order of events, as far as Rebbe is concerned, after the animal, immediately you bring the wine, and then the meal part, the meal offering. So on the inside margin, we have a little encapsulated presentation. Rabbonon, they learn from Minchasim Niskehem, first Mincha, then Yayin. Rebbe, he learns from Zevach Nesachim, Yayin, and then Mincha. And we're pointing out that the Yayin, Miyad Achar HaZevach, the wine, is offered immediately after the animal offering. The Gemara now goes with a back and forth discussion between Rebbe and the Rabbanon. What does each one do with the other source? The Rebbe Nami Hoksiv Umin Chasam Viniskehem. Rebbe, who gave precedence to the wine, what does he do with this posuk that Min Chasam, which the Rabbanon gave, saw as their source for giving precedence to the flour? So Rebbe says, Ahu mi boil. He needs that for something else. For the following teaching, we are using a phrase marking, a singular quotation marks around the next line of Gemara in order to signal that you should read this in one shot. He needs it for the following. L'minchosam v'niskeyem b'layla, u'minchosam v'niskeyem afilu l'mochar. This Rebbe says from the Pasuk Umin Chasam in Iskehem teaches that one who brings an animal offering, in the event that he didn't have the Mincha and the Nesachim with it, he could bring it at night, he can bring it even the next day. For Rabbanon, Nami Hoksiv Zevach Unesachim, the Rabbanon who gave precedence to the meal, to the flour part, what do they do with this Pasuk that seems to give precedence to the wine? Answer, Hahu miboyale lichid ze'iri. He learns from this pasuk that which ze'iri teaches. The Omar ze'iri, ein nesachim miskachim elo b'shchitas hazevach. The word zevach then is an indication of the slaughtering of the animal. At the point that an animal is slaughtered, then the wine that's dedicated to the to this particular offering becomes sanctified. So it becomes sanctified, and there are practical halachas that that result when we say something becomes sanctified. So Zairi's teaching, which is ultimately based on this pasuk, that the nesachim, the wine, does not become sanctified until the animal is slaughtered, as is indicated by the word zevach. Zevach is, means zevicha, which means slaughtering. The Gemara asks now, for Rebbe Nami Miboya Le Lichet Zeiri, doesn't Rebbe need Zevach Unesachim for Zeiri's teaching? For Abonan Nami Miboya Lehu Lemin Chosam Unesachim Alaylam Chosam Iskeim Afilu Mochar, the Rabbonan as well, do they not need the Pasuk that was originally their source, but do they not need it for this other teaching that we saw before, that namely the Pasuk of Umin Chosam and Iskeim, they need it for the issue of that you can bring the Nesachim disjointed from the basic animal korban itself, disjointed time-wise. So after all said and done, as we, when we get to this point in the Gemara, then the sources that Rebbe and the Rabbanan thought were their respective sources for order of offering are actually used for other teachings. Ela, hainu tamayu de Rabbanan. The Gemara now addresses what is really then the source for the Rabbanan that hold that the order of things is first the animal, then the meal offering, then the wine. Dechsiv. The Pasuk says, Oila u'mincha. Ola is the animal offering, and u'mincha, the meal offering, follows, is attached to, so to speak, the animal. Well, if that be the case, what about Rebbe? V'Rebbe nami ha'ksiv oilo mincha. Rebbe, whose order was zevach, yayin, and then mincha, but what does he do with this Pasuk? Ela, new approach. You'll notice we have a double underline used. That's to highlight two phrases. One is here, b'boim ha'zevach, and two lines later, you see b'boim ha'fast one. You have a case of the mincha and the wine and meal offering that come together with the animal offering, and then you have the situation where it doesn't come together with the animal offering. As we saw before, there is a possibility of it being brought separately. So the Gemara points out, Ela b'boim imazevach dukuli ama lo pligi, when you have the nesachim, that's the flour and wine, coming together with the animal offering on the same day, dukuli ama lo pligi, there is no disagreement. De mincha v'achar kach nesachim, first the meal offering is offered, and then the wine offering. We should correct a mistake that we made earlier. We mentioned a handful of the meal offering being put on the fire, which is really not the case when you're dealing with the Minchas Nesachim. The Minchas Nesachim, the entire meal offering was placed on the fire. But as far as the spirit of things, it's really the same. And it's a question of the order of offering the meal offering on the fire. So the mincha, everyone will agree, is done first, and then the wine when it comes to a minchas nesachim brought together with the animal, and that's learned from the pasuk of oilo mincha. Ki pligi, when does the Tanaic controversy between Rebbe and the Chachamim arise? Beboyin bifnei atzmon, when the minchas nesachim is coming on its own. In other words, the animal was offered on a particular day, and he didn't bring the Minchas Nesachim the same day. He brought them separately. And now the question is, I have here is the flour with its oil, which represents the Mincha, and the Nesachim, the wine. How do I order these things? Rabbanan Savri, Midaboinim Mazevach Mincha V'Arkach Nesachim, just like in the case of that which comes with the animal, the Mincha is done before the wine. B'fnei Atzmonami, the case where it comes on its own, Mincha V'Arkach Nesachim. We just follow the same order. The Rebbe who disagrees, will say, Hosam, who, in the case of the Boim HaMazevach, where they come with the animal, the Aidi de Atzra Bachila, Gomar lo lekula milsa d'achila, since he began with matters of eating, namely, the animal, is we're talking about meat. Meat is a function of eating. Eating, by the way, can either refer to the the Kohanim or the people eating the korban, and when you're dealing with an Ola, for example, where no one eats from it, the Mizbeach is said to eat from it. So there, when you have the Minchas Nesachim that comes with an animal is different than the case of Boyim Bifnei Atzmon. In the case of that which comes with the animal, we say, since you began with the Zevach, everyone agrees the animal is offered first, so you began with matters of eating, Gomar lo lekula milsudala de achila, finish off everything having to do with the with eating, with the solid food, and therefore we have the mincha first. Avol bifnei atzmon, but if you're dealing with the minchas nesachim coming on its own, namely not together with the animal, nesachim adifi, precedence should be given to the wine, hoyol demisamra shira olayu, since wine has a unique distinction, and that is that that Shira, Rashi points out, Shira of the Levium was said over wine. Wine, and the Gemara also points out in Brachos at the beginning of the sixth parak, that Shira, praise to the Almighty, is said over wine. So, because wine has this special feature in that in its presence, or together with wine, Shira is recited, that gives it superiority or precedence over the Mincha. Hamatana shal mizbeach chitzon ein ma'akvois zu ezu. The blood sprinklings of a korban chatos, even though ideally there are four sprinklings, if one does less than that, even if one does one according to Beis Hillel, one is yotze. Tanu Rabbanan, the Tanaic source, serves as the basis of this teaching. In other words, the background, the source for this halacha of the Mishnah is found in this brisa. Minayin lechol anitnim al mizbech achitzon shenosnan b'matona achas shekiper. From where do we know that blood of sacrifices that are offered on the outside mizbech? When we say outside mizbech, if this is in contrast to korbanos that are processed in the hechal, in the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mizbeach HaChitzon type sacrifices, even though the sacrifice may have multiple blood applications as far as the Torah, as far as the Psukim are concerned, but from where do I know that if one did them, even B'matona Achas, Shekiper, that he achieves the desired atonement? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'dam zvochecha yishofech al mizbach Hashem Elokecha. The word yishofech says the blood of the sacrifice shall be poured. The word yishofech means even one shvich, even one application is sufficient. Before going on, let us glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei, Porim Eilim Ukvosim Einon Ma'akvin Ze Eze. There are occasions that are seen in the Torah, holiday occasions, where there are multiple korbanos that are brought. There are two major sections in the Torah that deal with these. One is in Parshas Pinchas, and the other is in Parshas Emor. And one will notice that on the various holidays that are described in the Torah, there are multiple korbanos. And those korbanos include cows, rams, and sheep. The Mishnah tells us that one is not binding upon the other, which gives us the feeling that if you have one, then offer it even if you're not going to be offering the others. Haporim va'elim va'kvasim einon me'akvin ze'eze. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im hoyu lohem porim merubim, v'lo hoyu lohem nesachim. If there is a situation where they have a number of cows, a lot of cows, and they have no wine, yovi par echod unesachav, v'lo yakrivu kulam below nesachim. Better to have fewer animals, but at least that which you bring is together with its wine offering. That's better than offering multiple animals and not seeking out and not exchanging it for the wine. The Gemara itself, which we will, Amir Tzashem, be pursuing in our next shiur, will investigate what are the Purim, Elim, and Kvosim referring to, which holidays, which parts of the Torah, what are we talking about? And that will be analyzed by the Gemara in stages. But with that, we conclude our shiur for today.